Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together in your presence. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, that as we come, Lord, you are always there for us. And we press praise and thank you today, Lord, and ask you that you open our mind, give us understanding, revelation. Lord, give us the ability to connect with you, Lord, and hear from you personally. That, Lord, we may know, Lord, that your presence is here not just to give us time together with you, but to empower us and to enable us to follow your direction and to, Lord, allow you to change us and to make us the people you want us to be. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything you have done for us up today, Lord. And we just open up ourselves to you to do even more. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. We continue on God's grace. You know, everything, when they talk about grace, they say grace is a gift. And it's true, but that's not the whole story. That's less than half the story. Because in reality, you see, I can say, I give you a gift, and I, you know, give you $10 or $100 or $1,000 or, you know, a new car or something like that, you know, are all gifts. But really what makes the difference is what these gifts are, not the fact that they're a gift from that point of view. You know, the fact that it's a gift is a question of the way you're going to receive it. But in reality, what's more important is what is going to be the gift that you get. And when you realize that the gift that he gives us, okay, is the greatest gift that you can ever get, is God's power and your enablement to do the things that you are called to do. Everything you get from God is a gift. It's a gift that comes out from his love, that comes down from his desire to minister to you, the desire to make you become the way he planned for you to be. Praise the Lord. This is based on the decision that we made at the very beginning, even before Adam fell. Because he knew already anyway. There was no plan A or plan B. It was just God's plan. That the things had to happen in a certain way because there was a purpose. Praise the Lord. We have to understand that the fact that we can get what a gift from God is because he decided and he established something according to which we can get this gift. It was the same, not just the New Testament, Old Testament, all the time, was always the same. It was through an agreement. The Bible talks about a covenant between man and him. And there were different covenants throughout the time from creation, but I'm not going to get into that. Because we got the best one. Amen. Amen? So we got the best deal that we can ever imagine and think. Okay? But you know, even down at the time of Moses, when the laws was established and through Moses, you know, all the time this covenant was, you know, the establishment of a certain rule according to which, you know, the God would help us. Okay, this covenant where between generally also could be through people, you know, but you know, to us, from us and God, to determine what was God's part and what was our part. And we to benefit from that agreement, if you want to call it that way, you know, we had to meet the condition that God had established. And so, You know, because God has to do things in a certain way. We have to understand the way God operates. He is loving us. But the love of God is not enough to save us. He had to be righteous too. Had to be doing the right thing, the just thing. Because God can only do the just thing. And so, you know, he did it and established this covenant that we're giving him the basis for him to help us. Okay? For example, in Exodus 34:10, I just read that before, but I'm going to summarize some things so that we can move on to, you know, more important thing. God said, you know, behold, I make a covenant before all your people, and I will do marvels such as I have been done never on earth. So he's going to do things for us, for Moses, for us, in those days, okay? But this covenant had a requirement. Okay, observe what I command you this day. So it was a question of obeying what God had established for him to do, which was the law that was given to Moses that day. And then I said that, you know, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitant of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. See, the thing is, that's what the problem is. When we make other covenants and do not fulfill the covenant that we have with God. He wants to be first because he is the one that keeps us together, the one that can do the things for us. All the other covenants cannot even come close to what he wants to do for us. He knows that. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all loving too. And that's why he wants to make sure that we are really connected with him and don't go other ways. Okay. But Jesus established a new covenant in the New Testament. Okay. That, you know, in a way is similar to the Old Testament, but it's not, because it's not based anymore on the law. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 says, so much more Jesus has become assuredly of a better covenant. In 8:6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. I mean, we are just going to a different order of magnitude for the way God is going to work. If you said that, you know, I will do, you know, as I said before, you know, I will do marvels such as I never done before on earth. Now he's going to do better than the marvels he never did on before. You know, sometimes we look at the Old Testament and see all these things that happened there, and you think, oh my goodness, you know, we don't see these things. You know, we don't walk through the water like they did before and without being, you know, opening up the sea in front of us. And we think, oh my goodness, that was a big thing. Well, today there is a better covenant with better promises that we can get all the time, and we may not be able to see them properly because we are looking at the wrong thing. Hello? The Bible says it's a better covenant. You better believe it. I mean, he wouldn't tell you it's a better covenant if he said it's, you know, not quite up to that level. Thing is, we had to learn to look at things from the way God works. And really what happened with God is that we, you know, always God works through grace. It's a gift that he gave to us. We did in the Old Testament and the New Testament because he didn't need to. But he made that decision. But in the New Testament, okay, the grace that is imparted to us is much bigger, much more powerful, much different from the one of the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament was mostly something that was on the outside. They weren't changed. They still needed to connect with God, and they had to do it through Moses or somebody else, on priest or stuff like that. With us, it's all different. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 20 says, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. They weren't children of God in the Old Testament. That means, you know, that those who believe in his name, they want to understand, they want to believe in what he did for you. Okay, we need to understand it to be able to receive anything from God. Otherwise, you don't know what you receive. If you don't know what you receive, what you know what you receive, it's nothing. This is why we need, and the Bible is full of that type of information. Okay. John 1:14 says, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, he came for two things, not just grace. The truth too. I mean, in the Old Testament, there was not a whole truth. The law was just telling you what to do and what you not to do, but they didn't tell the whole story. Didn't tell it really how and why that happened. Praise the Lord. In verse 16 of the same chapter, John 1:16 says, in his fullness, you see, full of grace and truth. You see, you need those two things to get results. The grace is really the gift that you get, which is God's power. Okay? Working in you, for you, helping you and whatever. The other one is truth, which is you knowledge, your understanding, your ability to know what's going on, the ability to connect with God, the ability to have direction in your life. And that didn't have a bit of it, he had the fullness of it. And in his fullness, we all have received grace for grace. For the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So now we got the whole thing. There is no way to get any more. If you don't get it now, you're missing it. Everything that we need is provided. And it's more than ever was before. The fullness. Can you say fullness? Do you know what fullness means? You cannot put anything else in it. Are you with me yet? Praise the Lord. You see, is there not an earner favor that he gives to us because he gives it to us freely? But we have the component to do, which is really through our faith in Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to see some more in what he has done. God's plan, the truth of his implementation of the plan, the truth that we can, through our believing and trusting in him, because what faith is only basically trusting him, that we are going to receive this. And that is really the grace of God. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says, you know, that by grace we have been saved. I mean, it's a gift given to us. Hallelujah. Through faith. Okay, that's the part you have to put in. It's not the works, it's the faith, the believing, the accepting, the receiving. Okay, and not to yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works. It's not the things you do, the right thing to do, you were going to do anyway. But anyone, so that you cannot boast at all. Hallelujah. All right, so it is knowing and accepting the truth that makes you free. I have to repeat that again. It is knowing the truth and accepting it that set you free. Jesus said it in John 8:31 and 32 very clearly. You know, the whole Bible is all integrated. It all works together. You know, you cannot read, understand the piece and not understand the other because it has to work together. And there he said, Jesus said, you know, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That means you have to stay in. You have to work in it. You have to operate in that way. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay. So that is what is going to do the work. If you don't know the truth, in the Old Testament, didn't know the truth. They had just the formula, the techniques. People try to do techniques with God. God is not a technician. God doesn't like 1, 2, 3 formula. It's too constricting for him. And the whole thing explodes. It's too big to work in 1, 2, 3 idea. Are you following me? See, unless you deal with him at the right level. Otherwise, you can go back on the Old Testament and, you know, kill bulls. And doesn't do the same thing because you are not the fullness. Now you had the fullness, so you had to move into the fullness. And the fullness is the spiritual dimension that is has to be involved there. Praise the Lord. Okay? And this is where we start understanding that by the truth, fully understanding and appreciating and you know, recognizing that truth and understanding the way that it's going to work in us and the change is going to be producing and what we can expect now and the future. Then, but you know, we have to have the right idea. It has not been, it cannot be our own idea, our own working out, our own techniques. Forget about techniques. So, you know, at least I had to relate to something. You'd relate to nothing because you lose the most important part. You cannot go 1, 2, 3 and say, you know, now God do it. You have to be connected with him. God wants a connection with you, not with the formula. It's not a recipe to get healed, a recipe to do this, a recipe to get saved, a recipe. No, it's not a recipe. It's the understanding, the truth, and the openness, and the trusting in what he has done that makes the difference. Okay. And that's what happens. You see, how does it happen? Let's go into this a bit. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. What does it say there? Therefore means, you know, something happened before. Okay? It's the consequence of that. All right? Having been justified by faith. So the fact that justified means, you know, that we are not anymore, you know, in problem in conflict with God, so that there is peace established there. So we have been justified by God. You know, our sins have been dealt with in God's presence. You know, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that has to happen. And we have to understand that that is the thing that has to happen. If that doesn't happen, if we are not at peace with God because we have not processed with our heart what Jesus did for you, then you are not going to be able to experience the peace of God inside. You go around wondering if it happened or not. Because you cannot go by what somebody else says. You have to actually do it yourself. If you don't do it yourself, it's not going to happen. You had to deal with Jesus. He is the only mediator between man and God. If you expect to get, you know, healed or saved, whatever it is, from a man of God, you have to go to Jesus. Because he's the only one that's going to be able to do it. They can show you the direction. But finally, the step is to be yours. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, you know, you have to have the clear understanding. You have to connect with that reality. You have to believe in what He said. You have to believe in what He stands for. And you have to believe what He achieved. You know, you have to believe everything about Him. Being in His Word, being in what He explained, being in everything that, you know, you think it's not just saying a little prayer. It's not going to work. You are not going to have the experience that you should have. And that experience is the greatest experience you can ever imagine. Because from that you become alive spiritually. From a son of the devil, you are going to be a son of God. Born of God. Okay? We have to understand that. And then, you know, let's take a little step. Being justified by faith. I mean, that's a step that took place. Let's assume that you have, you know, knowing the story, knowing what happened, knowing what the intention was, knowing what plan God's plan A was, you know, he's implemented, and you just join in. Okay? Then verse 2, Romans 5:2 says, you what happens after? Then through whom also you have access by faith into this grace. You see, that is, you know, you get into the power of God. This is what it is. Grace in which you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How can you have the glory, you know, the hope of the glory of God just by doing nothing? Just trusting what He has done. You know, do you know what the glory of God means? Okay. The glory of God, having access to the glory of God means, you know, that it's going to be manifested in you, God's glory. That means it's His work that is going to be evident in your life. It's, you know, His work, that means something that you cannot do it yourself, but has to be God doing it. Praise the Lord. It's more than what you can do that you ever dreamt of to be able to do, because it's supernatural what is happening. Spiritually, it's taking place. And so, you know, what happened? You rejoice in the hope. What? Why hope? Wait a minute. You know, only hope? Because if it's hope, it means you don't have it yet. True. You have only an advance. You have a beginning of the glory of God starting to manifest in you, in your spirit, in your heart, and is going to be starting to come out of there into your body, into your behavior, into everything. Your thinking, everything you have. See, that power is going to be starting there. It's been planted there. The plant is going to grow and is going to expand and is going to explode to the degree that you let it happen. Are you with me? See, if you don't expect that means, you know, you don't believe it. If you don't expect that means you're not going to see it. Because it's based on the faith, and that means the trust. You see, you have to see how reliable your source of information is. If you go by a man or a person that is not himself, you are going to get only second degree information. You have to connect with him, because there is where you get the truth to set you free. And so stop looking at all the different things and start looking at him, the author and finisher of your faith. If you look at other things, you are going to always come short, because you don't get out of the source, you get the digested food, already digested. That doesn't work anymore. all the substance is gone. Are you following me? I mean, this is a big thing. You know, I was starting to do the Thursday Bible study on grace. I said, no, I am not going to do it here. I cannot preach. Yeah. I had to do it at church on Sunday. Because that's the topic is too big and there is too much confusion about it. If there is confusion, it's bad. If it's just not understood, it's just the same. Because you don't get it. It doesn't work. Praise the Lord. So you have access by faith into this grace. You have a part you play. Faith is trusting him in what he said and the word he says. So you have everything there. That's where the connection comes from. It's his message, it's his truth that set you free, not your idea. And if you don't get the truth that you had to properly, that you had to understand, you are not going to experience it. You've gone short of what you could have. Hallelujah. And you start rejoicing in the hope of the Lord. You see, if you have just a little smidget of the glory of God in you, the only thing you can do is start rejoicing because, this is really good. But that's the beginning. You have to understand the whole thing. This is just the beginning, the little midget that you get at the beginning, and it's just wonderful. But there's much more there that he wants you to get. So, you get the hope to get much more than that. And if that's good enough, this is going to be even better. Praise the Lord. All right. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, it's not fully manifested, but you have an advance. And that advance is already enough to know that you are a child of God. Okay? That means there is a supernatural element there that is starting to be evident. See, what he was saying before to Moses, you know, I will do greater things than I ever did. Well, this is a greater thing that he ever did before. Okay? Now, let's continue in Romans chapter 5. You know, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope from tribulation. I mean, something must be really different in us if we start rejoicing or, knowing, okay, the tribulation produces perseverance and all these other things that come along. I mean, the implication is that we are starting to look at things not in the physical way, because tribulation is never much fun. That means we understand something, and we finished talking about that for a long time before, because many people do not understand that. But God's training that has to take place for us to be able to get anywhere, because we had to overcome our flesh. And we have to be able to see beyond the physical to be able to appreciate the spiritual. If we are focused on the physical, we are going to get stuck forever. We are going to get nowhere, and we cannot exercise any faith. Because we are going to be trying to get all the time the things that actually are not important. They actually come naturally as a result of your union with God. You don't work for those things anymore. You connect with the author and finisher of your faith, and your faith is going to be there based on him, not on the things you see or the things you flesh wants. This is the truth. This is the power of the truth. That when you start looking at the right thing, then things that you look at change. That means you're not looking at those things, but looking at something else, him, the author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Okay. So, what happens? You see, that's why we, you know, rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Because, you know, verse 5, okay, let me just go back a step here. Okay. You say there, you know, because knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. Okay, so you see, but what happens here is what happened. What patience? What is actually patience, or you know, perseverance, or what you want to call it? Is what does James says very clearly that patience strengthen your faith. Increase, make your faith grow, because you are not anymore dependent on the physical things that you see, but you see with your spiritual eyes the things that God has in plan for you and what he's doing all the time. Now, you know, and says, you know, the hope that you get, it does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to you. See, there is no way that the hope is going to disappoint you, that you are not going to, are going to fail if you really connect with him. Because he's going to guide you through the teaching, to the training that we've been talking about, through all the things that are happening, all the things, he's in full control. You see, the lie of the enemy that spreading to Christianity is that God is not in control. It's the devil in control of the world. It's a lie. God is full powerful. He is fully sovereign, and he controls everything, and everything can happen only what he allows. Otherwise, it cannot. God is God. And there is only one God. And that's not the devil. See, they say the word, you know, people take a scripture and distort it and put themselves into bondage. You know, the Bible says, true, you know, he's the God of this world. What does it mean? It's not that he, this is, first of all, small d, no capital G. Okay. What does it mean? It means simply the fact that he's not God at all. He's the God of people that are submitted to him, the world. If you are not submitted to him, he's not your God. And the other one is your God, the one with capital G. Praise the Lord. So he's not going to disappoint you. He's going to guide you. He's going to train you. He's going to do all the things. So even when things don't go the right way and you go through some tribulation, you just take it the right way and he's going to give you full victory. Praise the Lord, okay? Because the love of God has been put out in your heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to you. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, if you have a bit of logic in your thinking, that he worked for you the big miracle when you didn't even care about him. He made you his child. If he did that when you were a sinner, is not going to help you now that you are his child. I mean, if you get lost there, that means you have no logic in your head. Because if he cares about you when you couldn't care about him, now we know that he rewarded all those who diligently seek him. And now that you are seeking him, he's a rewarder of you. So you are in a better place than you were before. So you see, if you are not disappointed with what happened before, then it's going to be much better when you get now. Because his grace is going to be more abundant. It's going to be the fullness of grace. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I mean, you know, if we grasp that, we should be just start having a glory fit. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's exciting. Not exciting. It's exciting. All right. Now, now Jesus, okay, is our example. We can look at him and learn how to walk right. Okay? But, you know, he came, died in our place, revealed us the truth, and put us in a different place. And that's why he says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? To walk in the way, we had to look at Jesus, not people. It's the truth. We had to go at the message he gave us, not what people talk about. It generally diminishes the power of what he said. Okay. And he's the life. That's where the life is. Eternal life that is coming to us, that we are going to experience, and we are going to see and experience the life of God inside us because we are God's children. And there is only no way, he said it very clear, there is no other way but him. So if we go to second end, it's not going to work. You have to connect with him. And he is going to connect you with the Father. Hallelujah. See, walk in the way that he walked. Okay, we need understanding that was not available in the Old Testament. And he came to explain that, he came to tell you the whole story. Now, you know, that was the gospel. Okay, that is the gospel. Okay, is the truth of the gospel that enables us to walk God's way, okay, by knowing the truth and being filled with the grace, the power of God, enabling us to do the things that we have to do. It's not through our physical, our mental, our capacity, in the, you know, human capacity. It's superhuman. Hallelujah. And that's why in Romans 1:16 says very clearly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, it's the power of God that we receive to break through. It's not our thinking, our philosophy, our religion, our activities. No, it's because we trust him and we follow what he said and we believe what he said. We trust God. We trust his promise. We trust his way. We trust his approach. And Jesus is the typical example of doing that. He's just the one say, you know, against all the psychological techniques, you know, and myself, I can do nothing. That's not what the psychologist would tell you to think. If you don't start thinking the way he thought, you cannot do the way he did. Because he was able to stand and go to the cross, knowing that he was going to die on it. The tribulation that he, you know, he went through that. And whatever tribulation you go through is nothing compared to the one he goes through, he went through. He got them all the problem of all the world on himself. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Jew first and the Greek also. Okay. Everyone who believes, but you know, you have to really believe. You have to really trust in what he has done. You have to really trust what he said. See, there is degrees of believing. Or you agree with him because you theologically read the things. So sounds good, you know. Do you really put your life on stake for that? That's the point. That's where the thing is. Okay. Okay. So, the grace that you receive, a salvation, is the power of God. Is the power of the gospel of salvation. Is the greater power for deliverance, for healing, for everything else, freedom from any bondages, including sin. Hallelujah. See, grace is the transforming power of God that gets in you. That's why in Ephesians 2:10 says, you know, we are his workmanship. I mean, we created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we are his creation. He made us. We are his work, not our work. Okay? And, you know, but the thing is, we have free will. And if we have free will, we can do whatever we want to do. But now the situation is changed. We know the truth, and we have to work according to that, not according to our own ideas or our own feeling or our own fleshy ideas or think. Okay? So, God prepared the good work, the direction that he gave. We choose to walk according to God's plan, you know. And your motivation is what? The love of God and the hope of eternal life that you know you already experienced and you're going to go knowing that there is more there for you to experience until there's a full manifestation that you can get. Praise the Lord. I did half of the, less than half of what I wanted to preach about. That's okay. Let me continue something, okay? Actually, I got to the same, you know, in a parallel place of what I finished last Sunday, okay? The fact that now, you know, the love of God is the things operates on us. Wanting to be connected with him, wanting to, you know, be in this relationship with him. That requires for to be there that we walk in his way, the way that he showed us, the way that Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, all the three things there are going to be manifested in us as we choose to get along or to align ourselves with that. But we can choose whatever we want because God will not stop us. Okay? So, you know, praise the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul prays for the Colossian people that were saved. Okay. And says, verse 3, we give thanks to the God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, that's number one thing. Your love for all the saints. 2. And because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, on which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You see, here is packing just together everything. Okay, the different things that took place, the different things that make that faith in Jesus Christ, faith, you know, the love that is manifested because you're starting to have God's love inside yourself. You receive, Lord, we love because He first loved us. And so there is going to be this love manifestation. There should be the evidence of actually the transformation that took place inside us. Okay? And then, you know, the hope that we have for what is expecting us in heaven. I mean, that's going to be the best. But up to them, we can just keep moving toward that so that when we are there, we are going to get at the best possible position. Because not everybody is going to be at the same place. So, and now you develop that by hearing, heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and the power of God unto salvation comes because of the truth, and the truth, if it's not truth, there is no power. It's the truth that set you free. And that truth means doesn't mean just that you have the right doctrine. It means that you are lining up with self, that you think that way, that you do the things that way, that you are walking in the truth, that you are not an hypocrite. Say one thing and being another. Okay? So, praise the Lord. All this prayer is a parallel of, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and following. Okay? Talking about the fact that, you know, how. Okay. Well, let me continue here. Just a couple of minutes. Which come to you as it also as in the whole world in this and is bringing forth fruit. Okay? He comes to us, is going to produce fruit. And he's also among you since the day that you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. You see, he's the manifestation of the grace of God in yet to know. That is not just an idea or a theory. This is a solid gift that we get, which is actually the power of God to change us, to transform us, and to enable us to do things that otherwise we cannot do. And He is doing in us rather than we doing ourselves. Praise the Lord. Okay, heard and know the grace of God in truth. You see, that's what's going to bring forth fruit. Hearing and knowing the grace of God and the truth of God working together in us and allowing that to work in us. Okay. And Paul asks there something that is important. In the next verse, it asks also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 15 and following, Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Again, fullness, filled. Can you say filled? You know what filled means? That you there's nothing room left there. Okay? So everything that you need, you can get. Okay? That you may fill with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in Ephesians. Okay, he wants you to be filled with that because God wants it too. But you know, you had to be wanted to be filled. You had to cooperate. You had to agree. We had to let it happen. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, to know God's will, the knowledge. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. See, people say to me, oh, I don't know what the will of God is for me. Well, you got the problem. You don't go to know the will of God, the will of God for you just like that. It takes time. See, that's the process that happens when the renewal of the mind. When you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, so that you can be filled, because otherwise, you are filled already with the stuff that you have. that is not that good. Okay? So you have to empty yourself of the stuff and fill yourself with His will that you get out by renewing your mind, changing the way you think, changing, getting spirit of wisdom and revelation, have the wisdom to know what to do, what to think, what the approach to take, and to respond to that instead of responding to the desire of the flesh. I think this may be a good point to stop. All right. We're going to start from here next Sunday. Are you following what I'm saying? See, when we have some, if we don't have understanding and wisdom, and understanding is a knowledge of some truth, oh God, the wisdom is to know how to apply it. And the only way you're going to get that is not by somebody telling you, because it is going to be just going like that, okay? Is by you seeking and opening yourself up, open the eyes of your heart so that you may see the way Jesus functions. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love, that we may experience it and realize that we have the ability to receive the fullness of your power, of your love, of your understanding, to walk in Jesus' way, to be obedient to you, and to be transformed by that power that you put inside us, to the fullness that you can if we remove the other stuff from there. Thank you, Lord, for your love and the hope that you put in our heart for the glory of God to be manifested in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.